So today's Torah Parsha, which I'm really not going to talk about too much, very little actually. Today's Torah Parsha is known as Vayishlach. And it includes Genesis chapter 32:4 through 36:43. Now this portion today deals with that well-known scripture. Go back one slide, please. That well-known scripture where we have Jacob who is wrestling with what's known as the Malach Adonai, the angel of the Lord. And through his experience here, God changes Jacob's name from Jacob to Israel, from the one who grabs the heel. Remember the story where Esau came out first and there was Jacob sticking his hand out of the womb and grabbing the heel of Esau, changing his name from the one who grabs the heel to Israel, which is a prince of God. What a transformation from someone who's grabbing and grabbing and grabbing to someone who is now considered a prince unto God. And this forever changes Jacob's life, and he's transformed from the one who's always struggling with God to the one who now follows the voice and the will of God. And to help Jacob forever remember this experience, that angel, the Malach Adonai, touches his joint, his hip area. And from this time forward, he has a thorn in his flesh, like Rav Shaul had a thorn in his flesh. Something that helped him to remember that time, that experience. Something that would always be on his mind, that he had experienced something with God special. From this time forth, he is walking around with a nasty limp going forward. Now that's pretty much all I'm going to talk about Jacob today. All right? No. Questions afterward. Okay. And going to the next slide again. It's Jacob wrestled. Or Yeshua's wrestling. Now let's move ahead about 2,000 years. Okay, everyone put on your time travel cap. Let me see everyone put it on. Put on your time travel cap. Everybody? I don't see everybody putting on your... Okay, there you go. So if we move ahead about 2,000 years, we find a very similar experience taking place. We read in the Besorah, which is the good news about Yeshua going through a time of wrestling while he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. This account is captured in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And we're going to look at some scriptures from Mark predominantly. And this experience was so intense for Yeshua. It was such an intense time of wrestling that Luke 22:44 says these words. And in his anguish, in Yeshua's anguish, he was praying fervently, and his sweat was falling like drops of blood to the ground. Now, can you imagine praying with such fervency, praying with such intensity that your sweat actually exudes blood from the pores and falls to the ground? Do you know, medically, I don't know if Linda's ever looked at this. Linda's our medical expert here. But in times of intense, absolute anguish, unimaginable anguish, that you can actually sweat from your pores blood. And this is what, you can look it up, it's a fact. And let me tell you what, Yeshua was in such anguish because he knew what was going to take place. In such intense prayer and in such agony that from his pores blood was exuding and falling to the ground. Can you just even imagine that taking place? And in this portion of the scripture we see that Yeshua's time had come. And now his capture was coming, and his sentence was coming, and his death and resurrection were imminent. And before he and his Talmudim, his disciples, had went to Gethsemane, Yeshua had told them that God was going to do these things, that he would be stricken down, and that all of them as well would fall away, and that Simon Peter would disown him three times before that end of the day. He also spoke of his resurrection, that he would go to Galilee ahead of them, and afterward he would rise from the dead. All these things he had explained to them, and he knew all these things were set before him. This was what he was destined to do. This is why Yeshua was born. He was born to die, be buried, to be resurrected, to ascend to the Father. This is why he came, to take all the sins of the world, and he knew what was about to face him. And he was in such anguish here. Mark 14:31 says, "But Peter kept insisting exceedingly, 'Even if I must die with you, I will never deny you.'" And all the rest of them were saying the same thing. And you know what? And these are the same things that we all say. Lord, you know, if everyone in this room here turns from you and runs away, Lord, I'm never going to do that. Lord, I know how faithful I am, Lord. I'll never do that. Be careful what you say. Let me tell you, be careful what you say. You never know what you'll do when you're put to the test and put to the fire. Put your faith and trust in God. And so Simon Peter, here we see, did not agree with Yeshua's words. In fact, he disagreed even more when Yeshua announced that Peter would disown him three times. He was sure that he was right and Yeshua was wrong. Yeshua, listen, you're confused. You don't know what you're talking about. I would never do that. I would never deny you at all. Let me get you straight here. It's never going to take place. And like Simon Peter, as I was just mentioning, you know, we say the same thing and we do many of the same things, thinking that we know better than God. Anybody in here ever think you know better than God? Well, look at this. Praise the Lord. It's good to see some honest people here. It's good to see some honest. Now, all you other people here who are dishonest, some of you anyway, I think we all at times think we know better than God. Because if we didn't, we wouldn't do the things that we do. We wouldn't. We'd be totally different if we knew otherwise. In the book of Mark chapter 14, starting at verse 37, this is what it says. Then he comes, this is Yeshua. Yeshua comes and he finds them sleeping here. And he tells Peter, "Simon, you're asleep. Couldn't you keep watch with me for even 1 hour? Keep watching and praying so that you will not enter into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Oh gosh, let me tell you, I know that in my personal life so much. My spirit wants to fly. My spirit wants to soar like an eagle. I want to be able to climb the top of the mountain. I want to be on the Empire State Building, looking down at everyone else. I want all these things. But let me tell you, my spirit, it wants to pray as I should and fast and seek the Lord. My spirit wants to shout and rejoice. But boy, my flesh is weak. I don't know about you, but my flesh is weak. You know, I admit I'm a human being. And with this humanity comes a lot of failures, and a lot of errors, and a lot of mistakes, and a lot of things that I do wrong. And I know that's true. The spirit is so willing. We desire, but the flesh is so weak here. And again he went away and he prayed, saying the same words. Again he came back and found them all sleeping again, for their eyes were very heavy. They didn't know what to answer him. And he comes back now, and it's the third time. And he says to them, are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough! It's already over. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is now going to be betrayed, delivered into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let's go. Look, my betrayer is near. You know, Simon Peter here had been so full of self-confidence that he could do anything for Yeshua, that he felt he would even die for Yeshua. But here we see that the enemy had no problem with Peter whatsoever. Peter was easy. The reason, shortly later, why Peter disowned Yeshua three times, let me tell you this. He disowned him three times because instead of praying at the garden like Yeshua asked him to, he was sleeping. Instead of praying, he was sleeping. Instead of doing what God had told him to do, he was doing something else. He was sleeping. And because he was sleeping, later on, the devil was very easily able to get to him and cause him to deny Yeshua. Simon Peter was weak. And when that decisive moment came, it showed. And his weakness was his lack of prayer. And let me tell you, our weakness here as a people of God is our lack of prayer. My weakness is my lack of prayer. My weakness is not spending enough time with the Lord. My weakness is not being in the Scriptures enough. And because for myself and most of us here, because of our lack of prayer and because of our lack of being in the Word of God, we are easy prey for the evil one. Easy. In fact, sometimes he doesn't even bother with us. He may walk by you and say, I don't even need to waste my time with that one. They're already gone. They're not serving you anyway. Why waste my time with them? When the situation became really tense, he wanted to do something, but he couldn't. Because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Yeshua knew this. He told them all, most of all Peter, that they needed to pray. Pray with me. Pray with me. He should have listened to Yeshua, and in that decisive moment, Peter had only himself to rely on, and his body was weak because he hadn't been in prayer with the Lord. And we all had a very similar experience in our life, thinking we can do things for the Lord out of our own strength and out of our own willpower, that we can do things for the Lord. And let me tell you, if you're relying on your own strength, and you're relying on your own willpower, you're going to stumble and you're going to fall. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. Because your spirit may be willing, but your flesh is so weak. And there are situations when that's not enough, when our body is simply weak. Yeshua tells us how to overcome. We overcome those weaknesses by what? By praying. That's how we overcome the weaknesses that we have, by praying, by bringing our fears and our problems to Avinu Sheba Shamayim, to our Father who is in heaven, just like Yeshua prayed to Him. We need to learn that in our hour of persecution, all of our self-confidence and inner security, it's all blown away. It's all blown away when times get rough. Let me share with you a little story about Dr. Martin Luther King. We're all familiar with him. He explained his situation after receiving a phone call threatening him with murder. And he said, quoting, "My strength was gone. I sat at the kitchen table searching for a way of how to disappear without being considered a coward. In this state of utmost exhaustion and complete discouragement, I lay down my need before God. With my head in my hands, I prayed out loud, 'Lord, I believe that I am fighting for a righteous cause here. But now, Lord, I'm afraid. I can't go any further. I've come to a point where I cannot make it any longer on my own. And almost immediately, all my fears were gone, he said. My insecurity, it disappeared. I was ready to face everything. Fear knocked at the door. Faith answered, and nobody entered. Praise you, Lord. So let me tell you, prayer is the difference between victory and defeat. This is something I need to personally learn. We all need to learn that prayer is the difference between victory and defeat. And prayer has to be the difference between sickness and healing. There has to be a connection there as well. Now that doesn't mean that everyone who is sick or everyone who is suffering gets healed, because I don't understand. Let me tell you, I don't understand why some people get healed and some people never get healed. And some people who are faithful believers in the Lord, who pray with all their heart and soul and strength, giving it all to God, loving Him with all their heart, they don't get healed. And someone who is maybe just a get-by Christian type person, getting by the skin of their teeth, as Job says, gets healed. Doesn't make sense. It doesn't. But let me tell you, I believe you'll never go wrong by praying. You'll never go wrong. Yeshua went to Gethsemane in order to pray because he knew he was going to go through a horrible, horrible time here. Listen to what it says in Mark 14, verse 32 through 34. And when they came to a place whose name is Gethsemane, and Yeshua says to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he takes with him Peter, Jacob, or James, and John, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. And he tells them, "My soul is deeply grieved, even to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch." And again, like he's saying, he was going through this anguish, even to the point of death. That's why going through such intensity, and his body was being stressed to the utmost, because he knew, he saw himself on that tree. He saw those nails in his wrists and in his ankles. He saw the blood pouring down. He saw and felt the pain and all those things. He knew what was coming ahead of him. And let me tell you, some of you may not believe it, but you know, Yeshua was human as well. You know, there's this teaching within the church that, you know, Yeshua never got sick, never had a cold, never got a scratch. He was just, through his whole life, perfect, never fell down. Let me tell you, Yeshua was a human being. His father, yes, was the Lord God, but his mother, Miriam, was a human being. He was of human flesh, human body. He felt. Do you think if somebody took a knife and slashed his face that he would not feel that? That if he, you think he never tripped over a stone and stumbled? If he wasn't human, then how could he identify with us humans? He had to experience what we had experienced. He had to feel what we had to feel. Yeshua was destined for all these things. And what I was going to say here is that he was afraid. He was afraid. Don't think he wasn't afraid. He was a human being. And he knew what was going to have to take place, and he was afraid. This was all destined. Yeshua already knew what would happen. Still, this time it was different. Usually when Yeshua prayed, he prayed alone somewhere. He went by himself. This passage tells us that he took Peter, James, and John with him. These were the same three disciples that he took with him on the Mount of Transfiguration when he's transfigured and Moses and Elijah were there. This time Yeshua didn't want to be alone. You understand? He didn't want to be alone. He needed his friends with him at this time and he wanted them to pray with him. He wanted their company. He wanted their support. And here, because of the tremendous pressure that he was about to go through and the suffering, here begins what the prophet Zechariah spoke in Zechariah 13:7. Strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. And we're going to see that take place. So Yeshua was under this tremendous stress and he had fears. He had fears. That's what this passage and the parallel text in Luke allude to. Again, there it says that Yeshua was in anguish and the sweat became like drops of blood. Hebrews 5:7 says, listen to this, Hebrews 5:7 says, in his days of his life on earth, Yeshua offered up both prayers and pleas with loud crying and with tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. This time Yeshua had to wrestle with God in prayer. Yeshua had to wrestle in prayer with God. He had to struggle with God in prayer. Why did Yeshua have to struggle and wrestle with God like this? We'll know when we see what Yeshua prayed for in a minute. From Yeshua, we learn how to pray. And prayer is sometimes a struggle, sometimes even a wrestling with God. Have you ever wrestled in prayer? Have you ever done that? But we can also learn from him what he prayed. And this is what Yeshua prayed. Going a little further, he fell to the ground and began praying that if possible, this hour might pass him by. And he was saying, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but you will. Now you got to understand what Yeshua was saying here. His humanness, his humanity was saying, Lord, I'm afraid. Let this hour pass away with these things not taking place, with these things not happening, Lord. I don't want these things to happen, Lord. In my humanity, in my flesh, I don't want to go through this. I don't want to go through this suffering. Let this all pass, Lord. Let it pass by me without me having to go through all of this. I don't want to go through this, Lord. Take this cup from me, yet not what I want. It's not my will, Lord. Let it be your will that I go through this. Yeshua prayed to Avinu Shebashamayim, his Father in heaven. Our prayer can be great in many respects, but one of the most important characteristics is to know to whom we pray. To whom we pray. Yeshua prayed to his Father in heaven. God was not something abstract to him, nor someone with whom he had an impersonal relationship. Yeshua prayed to Avinu Shebashamayim, his Father who was in heaven. He prayed to him. And when we pray, we should pray to our Father in heaven. You know, my own children, my own kids, they call me Dad. My daughter Tova in Tucson, she calls me Home Pops. She calls me on the phone, Home Pops! How you doing, Home Pops? I'm their father, and I want them to call me this. I want them to call me Dad. I want them to call me Pops. I don't want them to call me Mr. Lester or Rabbi Lester. I don't want them to call me that at all, as if I were a stranger to them. I also don't want them to call me by my first name. Hey, Yossi, what's up, dude? I don't want that at all. Because calling me by my first name would say that in that sense we are an equal. But we're not in the sense that I am their father and they are my children. I know many things they don't know and consider many things better than they can because I have more experience in life than they do. I'm their father. I cared for them. I've loved them. Believe me, I'm not perfect. By no means am I perfect at all. I make many mistakes, and I have made many mistakes, and I will make many mistakes. And in this respect, I'm different from Avinu Sheba Shamayim, from my Father who is in heaven, because He's perfect, and He makes no mistakes, none at all. But just as I want my children to address me, God wants us to call Him Avinu Sheba Shamayim, my Father in heaven. Avinu, Abba, Abba, I love you. Father, Daddy, that's what He wants us to call Him. And when we do, it makes clear that we trust in Him and that we know that He cares for us and leads us in the best way, even when everything around us seems to break apart and we're afraid of death. He's there for us, and He loves us. A well-known German pastor who at one time had his own television show, he once called God the gangster up there. Ah, the gangster up there. Let me tell you this. You can say many things about this man, but one thing you can say is that he doesn't know God. That's for sure. You don't know God if you call Him the gangster up there. I've heard people say the old man up there. No, He is your heavenly Father. And we need to give Him all the glory and all the honor and all the praise and all the worship and all the majesty. When we come to a point where we don't know what to pray, it's enough for us simply to say Father or Abba. Just like Abba. Oh, Abba. Oh, Father. Sometimes we don't even know what to pray. But God knows our heart and He knows all things. Mark 14:36 says, Abba, Father, all things are possible for You. Take this cup from Me, yet not what I will, but what You will. Yeshua knew that everything is possible for His Father. It's good for us to trust our Heavenly Father so that we consider that everything we ask from Him is possible from God. It's all possible. And in this verse, we also learn a little bit about ourselves here. In that hour, Yeshua prayed for something we would have considered impossible. He prayed that the cup should be taken from Him. This was the cup. The prayer that I mentioned earlier that so difficult when we learned what that prayer was about. This cup was the cup of suffering. This cup was the cup of dying. This cup was the cup of being forsaken by God, forsaken by His own Father. Everything that came did not come as a surprise to Yeshua. He knew everything that was going to take place. He knew what was happened, what's going to happen. Consequently, the roots of this request are much deeper than that. Temptation was not something unknown to Yeshua, because Yeshua faced every temptation, but was without sin. For many days He had been tempted by the devil in the desert, and still He could resist because He held on to God's Word. And we need to hold on to God's Word. In this verse, all of His humanity overwhelms Him. Everything that's human about Him, His flesh, His bones, the soul within Him, His humanity overwhelms Him. He asked God to take this cup from Him. Lord, take this cup from me. Now, how surprisingly to hear this from Yeshua. In this respect, Yeshua was more human than we often appear to be. He confesses that He does not want to disobey God's will. He doesn't want to disobey it. The will of God doesn't happen automatically. As the sun rises and sets every day, it doesn't happen like that. Basically, we don't want to do God's will. Basically, we don't want to do God's will. We rather pursue our own pious and seemingly good will instead of the will of God. And here Yeshua honestly prayed that God would let this hour pass by. Lord, let this hour pass away. Take this cup from me, Lord. And I believe that's a lot more honest than we are a lot of times. We would never confess this, especially before our brothers and sisters here in the Lord. We wouldn't confess those things. And since Yeshua admitted his weakness, how much more should we admit our weaknesses before God? We don't have to present ourselves worse than we are, and we don't have to present ourselves better than we are. We should pray with our fear, our needs, and our weakness. Only in this way can we find help from God. And Yeshua said, "Yet not what I will, but you will." The final words are surely the most important ones here. Yeshua prayed that not his own will, but God's will be done. And we should pray, "Not my will, Lord, but your will be done." And in his prayer, Yeshua overcame his own will and he submitted to the will of God. It's evident how difficult this was for Yeshua to do, because in his prayer it says he was in such deep anguish, struggling with death, struggling with it. And Hebrews 5:8 says, though he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. It's an act of obedience toward Avinu Shabbashamayim, his Father in heaven. When we pray for God's will to be done instead of our own will to be accomplished. You know, naturally, it's natural for us to be disobedient. We are not obedient naturally. We have a sin nature within us. But by praying for God's will to be done, we learn to be obedient to the will of our Father who is in heaven. Yeshua was able to win that victory in prayer. In prayer. That was the difference. In prayer, he was able to win the victory. He was ready to face everything that was going to happen to him in the next hours that were to come. Contrary to his disciples, Yeshua really had to struggle in his prayer. He had to struggle that not his own, but his heavenly Father's will would be done, performed. Whether or not we can do this is the difference again between victory and defeat. That's the difference. Yeshua has won that victory, and he won it for each and every one of us. Now going back to the parasha, are you someone back there? Or are they gone? I don't want to go back to the picture. Okay. Going back to this illustration here of Jacob wrestling with God. I love this picture when I first found this. I just love it. The intensity of it. The anguish of it. I just love the. So going back to this parasha and Jacob wrestling with the Malach. No, go. You can go back. Just leave the picture. Yeah, you can leave the picture there. I love that. There you go. Going back to the section on Jacob wrestling with the Malach Adonai, with the angel of the Lord, Jacob was forever changed. Forever changed. He was no longer a contender with God, is what his name can also mean. Or Israel, that word Israel can also mean contender with God, besides Prince of God. He was no longer a contender with God, but now he was a prince of God. That was the difference. No longer did he contend with God, struggle, fight. Now he was a prince of God. Jacob was strengthened through his encounter with God, and he was now ready to face his brother Esau, who was coming after him because he had wronged him. Likewise, Yeshua was strengthened by his encounter with his Father in heaven and was now ready to face the inevitable fate prophesied about him through the prophets of old. That is, he was to suffer and die for the sins of the world, and he was to bring atonement for mankind through the shedding of his blood. Both of them struggled with God. Both went through a great encounter with God, the suffering and the anguish. They had similar results in effect, but what Yeshua went through was so much more that it's hard for us to even imagine. And I just wanted to end with, turn with me in your scriptures, please, to Isaiah 53, starting at verse 3. Isaiah 53, starting at verse 3. I think this is a perfect picture of what Yeshua went through, what he did for us. And it's an apt way to conclude this time. As you see that all that struggling, all that wrestling that Yeshua went through, and what it brought for us. Isaiah 53, starting in verse 3, says that he was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. One from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and he's carried our pains. Yet we esteemed him stricken, struck by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced because of our transgressions. He was crushed because of our iniquities. The chastisement for our shalom was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Thank you, Lord. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us turned to his own way. So Adonai has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Because of oppression and judgment, he was taken away. As for his generation, who considered? For he was cut off from the land of the living for the transgression of my people. The stroke was theirs. His grave was given with the wicked, and by a rich man in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased Adonai, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He caused him to suffer. And God caused Yeshua to suffer so that you and I in this room today can stand before a holy God, cleansed, redeemed, atoned for, set free, washed by the blood of the Lamb of God. That's why the Lord was pleased to afflict him and to bruise him. Because he knew each one of you. He saw every one of you. And he wanted each one of you in this room today to be with him in glory. You know, it may sound terrible when you read that at first. It pleased the Lord to bruise him and to cause him to suffer. You think, what kind of God is that? That's a loving God. That's a loving God. Because he knew, by allowing his son to go through this great suffering, that each one of you here today would spend eternity with the Lord and experience his glory. That's a loving God. And thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for causing Yeshua to suffer, bruising him, afflicting him, scourging him. We thank you, Lord, that by his stripes, all he went through, that we are healed. We are restored. We, Lord, can be with you in your glory. Thank you, Lord, for that. thank you, Lord. We praise you. We give you all the glory and all the honor and all praise and all worship and all majesty. We thank you, Lord. Thank you that Yeshua wrestled at that garden, Lord. And he chose to do the will of God and not humanity. I thank you for that, Lord. Yeshua could have said, no, I just can't do this. I just can't do this, Lord. Take it away. Take the cup away. Let this pass. I'm just not able to do it. But he said, not my will, but your will.